this is such a great time of year where we get to start thinking about Thanksgiving and spending time with family and then Christmas right around the corner. And it's never too early to start thinking about ways that you can actually do something to help somebody in need. That's why I love that we've partnered with Food for the Hungry and the Chicken of the Month Club. Now, this is a subscription-based option, kind of like you do like Socks of the Month and things like that. This is where you can send two chickens to a family in need for only $28 a month. And you might be thinking, why chickens? I don't even know the first thing to do. If someone gave me a chicken, I'd be like, what do I do with this? But these people in these developing countries, they know how to maximize that resource.
Yeah, and one other good thing about having chickens is that they lay eggs. I mean, I'm pretty sure, not that I know much about chickens, but that they lay eggs every day, I believe.
A lot of eggs, yes.
So,
quote her on that.
That's helpful.
And that's how families can earn extra income, by selling eggs. Plus, the nutrition for families that deal with food insecurity. Don't tell the chickens about that, but it's a great source of protein. And they can also sell the chicks to other families as well. And so there's another income opportunity as a side hustle for them as well.
Another great thing about chickens is that they multiply pretty fast. So when they're selling those baby chicks, the families can get the income that they need that can help them reach their goal even quicker.
And another thing I love about this, it's not a handout, it's a hand up. And if that kind of resonates with you, it's a great thing to do this holiday season. You can help provide two chickens every month to a family for just $28 a month. You can check it out at fh.org/Wally Show. That's fh.org/Wally Show, or text the word chicken to 91979. That's chicken to 91979. We'll send you a link. Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast. Some of the stuff we did not get to during the course of the show today. I apologize. This is going to have to be a little bit of a faster cast because apparently we have a 3-hour meeting today. Who doesn't love meetings, right? That sounds fun. You know, it's going to be an interesting meeting because it's with like all of our higher-ups because they want to, you know, take the pulse of how people are feeling, and there's been some changes here recently, and like, are we doing a good job? And so that's good. I think it's a healthy thing. But one of the guys that works with us here came in today, and he's like, so is Wally going to be talkative Wally or quiet Wally? Because it could go either way. I've been in meetings where I used to always just, I'm going to take everybody's fight on, and I'm going to fight for them because it's kind of how I'm wired as an 8. But then in the past, I have been more reserved on some of the meetings. I'm like, it's not worth the headaches today, you know? Mm-hmm. And so he was asking like that. I think he might have an issue he wants me to bring up. Because that's what people do. Like, they get me riled up, and then they sit back and just watch me go. Mm-hmm. And it's not, sometimes it's not even about me. Like, there's a thing about, like, maternity leave. And I would fight for the women here for that, because I think they should have it,
you know? I feel like when you're done with having that argument, you feel riled up. But maybe you're questioning, wait, why did I get so riled up about this?
All the time. Yeah, all the time. And so so everyone's kind of taking my temperature on this meeting, and I'm like, I'm good. Like, I'm in a good space. I could see being super quiet, but somebody will bring up something I know that will get me going. I know that.
Oh, I know for sure. But just promise me, because it's supposed to last 3 hours.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't even, I don't want it to be 3 hours. But if you feel...
Yes.
Like, you have more questions or more concerns, sure, or more soapboxes to stand upon.
Right.
If we're approaching the 3-hour mark.
Go longer.
No, just.
To make sure we get it hashed out.
You know how sometimes a meeting can end up being a conversation between two people?
Right.
And you're
we're
like,
gonna take
why
this
am
offline.
I even here?
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's the
so
business
So if you feel
term.
Like it could go to that. Can you make it that way?
Yeah, I don't, it's weird. Like, I don't have anything. Well, we can talk about this tomorrow. We'll see how this one goes. The aftercast tomorrow will come out. Betty Rock will just be exhausted. Why would you talk? boy, some of the stuff going on that we didn't get to. Alec Baldwin. Okay, so now there's been a slew of lawsuits after the shooting on the set of Rust. And I'm still going to call it accidental. There is like a conspiracy theory from the girl who was the armorist of saying that somebody sabotaged her and brought live rounds.
And
you know.
What'd you call her?
The armorist.
Armorist. So she's the one that's responsible for making sure everything is safe and that everyone knows what they're doing, correct?
And she was young. Her dad was an armorist, but there have been a lot of reports that she was not really good at this job.
Right.
And in the past, other jobs like that and stuff.
That's not good.
Yeah, it's not good. But then this is what I don't like. One of the guys, he is bringing a lawsuit. He was on the set. He was there when, sadly, the lady died. It's a friend of his. You know, and so you heard from there. But now he's suing Alec Baldwin as well like saying that everyone was negligent and he has damages and so now he wants, you know, a bunch of money, blah, blah, blah. And because the lawsuits are just piling up on this thing. And I'm like, there's this deep pockets theory where you basically sue everyone and whoever ends up having the most money is who pays you, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's what I hate about this. Like, to sue Baldwin on this is ridiculous. Baldwin's job is not to check if there are live rounds in there. That never is the actor's job. Mm-hmm. It is four people before them. So sue all of them. That's fine. But, like, don't sue that guy. That guy already feels bad. He killed somebody.
True.
Completely accidentally.
Now, to give an opposite perspective.
Sure.
Let's say that, you know, they said that the whole thing was running, it was an unsafe environment.
Right.
So let's say maybe Alec Baldwin had something else that he had signed up for and he's the one that was hurrying everything, or he was the one that was cutting things back and saying, let's not do that, yeah, let's not do that. Then would it make more sense?
Still no, it's still not his job. Like his job as the actor, that's never his job. He's not a professional for that. His job is to deliver lines, you know? Mm-hmm. And so even if he was in a hurry, it's still not his responsibility. Everybody else needs to do that. But that's just speculation too.
Right, you know? And I guess what he's thinking, this man that's suing him, is probably thinking, you have a huge platform that none of us have, so you should have seen this happening and you could have done something about it,
because
people would have listened to you, and that's why I'm suing.
Yeah,
but
I don't know.
And I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. I'm just saying that might be what he's thinking.
Yeah, he's basically suing for like emotional distress, like watching his friend die. Yeah, that's horrible.
That's traumatic.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
But again, go after the people that are truly responsible. You know, that's my thing. Seek damages from them. Don't just make it a money grab, you know. This was interesting. As President Trump is still fighting the case against him for the Capitol riots, now others are starting to be sentenced, or at least the first person has now been sentenced for their part in this. And this is not about the politics in this. I want to be really clear. I'm not taking a side either way. I'm not debating the politics. This isn't a rant. But I think to me it's an underscore of what happens when we get super involved and super passionate about something and we get in this group and it ratchets up and people behave differently than they would have in other circumstances. And that's kind of the case. New Jersey gym owner is one of the guys who was in the riots on January 6th, and he punched a police officer.
Oof.
Okay? So he just got his sentence and he got 3 years in jail for this. He got 3 years for that assault on them. So that is, and he's like the first of the people that are going to be charged in this. And so the point of this is, would this guy in New Jersey as a business owner, even having an altercation with a police officer, would he have punched him? Odds are probably not.
Yeah.
But he's in this situation where all bets seemed like they were off, and like, and he felt probably like, I'm doing the there's a higher purpose here, and I'm a patriot and stuff, and like, and he got ratcheted up, and then all of a sudden, before you know it, his life is wrecked now. Mm-hmm. You know, like, there's, once you're in that system and once you've gone to jail and you have all these things that will trickle down for the rest of your life, it's wrecked now, you know? And he did actually, he apologized and at his sentencing and expressed remorse for his actions. He says, I take full responsibility for what I did. That's not who I am, and that's not who I was raised to be.
Oh.
Yeah.
And that's surprising.
Good. Yeah, but that is good. I'm glad he did that. I mean, it doesn't change his sentence, but it was, you know, it's good that he's owning it, but it is just that thing of, man, it's sad that a lot of people that got caught up in that, now they're going to deal with the ramifications of it. And what's really interesting, again, this, I'm not trying to be political, but like, you've got the underlings in this world, you know, and I'm not saying that Trump incited this. I'm not saying blah, 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 but I'm saying he probably will sidestep this, because that's what happens in this world. The higher-ups always seem to sidestep, and the people below that felt they were, whether it was like legit or not, felt they were doing his bidding, I think. Because I do believe they really felt that they were supporting their president, you know, kind of thing. And their lives are the ones that will be irreparably damaged as a result of this.
Right. So. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What do you got, Lady Rock?
I think we've all heard the news about about the Travis Scott situation at AstroWorld, where he had the concert in Texas and 8 people died.
They got crushed.
At the concert, yeah. And I fell into a rabbit hole of looking at videos on YouTube of how does something like this happen? Because I don't understand it.
Because as you think about it, you think, okay, I know I'm in a crowd like this. And you're like, okay, hey, give me some space and arm room. And you just think it narrows, it figures itself out, but it doesn't.
Right. So this all happened because Travis Scott, who is a famous rapper, he was telling his audience, he's on tour, but he's been telling all of his different shows, like the people out there, hey, storm this stage, don't listen to security and all this stuff. And when he does that, it creates chaos, but that's what he wants to be known for. And I even found out today that on his social media, he would post pictures and videos of people that had blacked out at his concerts.
Oh, really?
From being like crushed or something like that. And he was calling them heroes.
Oh, wow.
So he's already, you know, encouraging this type of behavior. But he was getting away with it because nobody was...
No one had died.
No one had died. Now, for some reason, at this recent one, this past weekend in Texas, 8 people died. And so what it is when people get together and there is so many people behind them, there is a countdown on the stage. And that countdown was counting down to when Travis was going to come on stage. So as the countdown is going down further and further, people are starting to push further and further up against the stage because they want to see better. But the problem with that is the people that are at the very, very front up against those barricades are getting squished to the point where their lungs can't expand anymore. They can't breathe. Then they're falling, causing a ripple effect of other people to fall, and then you're getting trampled on.
There's this thing, too, called compression sickness, or that's not like decompression sickness, but it's a thing when you're trapped under a weight of some sort, like people that are buried alive. Like, they'll get them out, but then they succumb to their injuries later because there's this weird phenomenon that happens with compression to your body, and your body, even though you're extricated from it, it doesn't recover from that, what had happened. It's a weird thing. Like, so just getting someone out of a situation doesn't mean they're out of danger.
Well, and we watched some of these videos. I was showing them to you, but, you know, this happened at a soccer game.
Yes.
And they were trying to pull people from the fence, but the pressure was so tight that they couldn't even pull the people out.
Do you know, because I haven't seen it, do you know if the people that were killed at this concert were 8 of them all people like up at the front that were squished, or was it mixed throughout the crowd, you know?
That I don't know.
Okay, I'm real curious.
I don't know that, but I'm assuming that they were close to the front at least, because I know that there were a lot of paramedics there saying they were trying to get to other people, but you can't get to everyone because they didn't have enough.
And how many rows back was the crushing, you know? Because you see people, they're like, oh, people are being crushed in the crowd, but they're in the back with their phones up. And so towards the back, you didn't have the problem. So was it a 15 row, in essence, you know, group of people that it was only 40 feet back and that's what it was? Or was it one of these things that was 100 feet of people being crushed, you know?
Yeah, I don't know that. I do know that people started seeing what was happening and they were trying to get the staff to tell Travis to stop the show. But he can't hear them. He doesn't know what's going on and he's just still continuing. So this is all happening at the beginning of the show. 45 minutes later is when they stop the show. That's crazy. But I was reading this article, and it tells about if you find yourself in a similar situation, what you need to do. So they talked a lot about density, and I didn't know what that meant when it came to estimating like a crowd density. Right. It means that if you feel like people are touching you both on both shoulders or on several places of your body at the same time, you need to get out as quick as you can, because that means there's already a lot of people, there's already a lot of pressure.
And there's no relief valve. It's going to go somewhere.
Right. So once you've sensed that the crowd density is getting too thick, then you need to leave. They said always make sure to be standing on the floor, not on a backpack or on someone's shoulders, because you need to create an obstacle for you to fall or for someone else to fall. They also said a big thing is to keep space around your chest to prevent a lack of oxygen. So if you feel like the crowd is pushing in, you need to make sure you keep your arms up and you create it around your lungs so that if you're pushed up against someone, you can push back and at least expand your lungs. Yeah. It says don't push. Don't just move with the flow of the crowd.
Right.
And also avoid walls and solid objects so you don't get crushed up against them. And that could be seen for like if you see maybe there's a a door opening and you're like, well, let's move over there to that. Uh-huh. That's a bad idea because now you may not make it and then you're going to get squished up against the wall instead.
The arm thing is probably the most interesting to me in that, yeah, you need to create that barrier so your lungs can open and close, you know, or rise and fall. And so the arm thing makes so much sense because there was a thing that somebody I had read that people were so densely packed in and they had their arms down that they were so, it's hard to believe that you are so packed in, you cannot raise your arms. Mm-hmm. And that would terrify me. Oh, I cannot stand. If I have my arms ever constricted,
right,
I lose my mind.
Oh yeah. Or the fact that the paramedics were trying to get to these people and they said that their bodies were distorted because of all the pressure that was putting up against them. So I don't know. I know that Travis is, he said that he's going to pay for the 8 funeral arrangements for these victims. But I know that there's like a 9-year-old little boy in the hospital. He was put into an induced coma.
Oh, gee.
And they don't know if he's going
to
make
it. It is one of those things, man. Like, you go to these things and you show up with all the hopes in the world for that day. Like, this is going to be great. And then you have no idea how it's going to shake out.
Well, and that's the thing, too, that they said that the pandemic has probably caused some of this issue because everybody's been roped into their homes, you know, and they haven't been able to get out. Now things are kind of getting more lax and all these people are showing up and they're so excited. So if you have plans to go to a big event where there will be a lot of people, look out for density.
It is funny. Like Biden was at the climate change summit and there's a picture of them all there, like all the world leaders, and they all got their masks on for this photo. And then right after it, they all take their masks off, you know. So again, it's the whole thing with this is lunacy. And so, but it's like, you know, you're all at this thing wearing masks, and then you've got 50,000 people that are just like, you know, crammed into this thing.
So packed that, you know, they're squishing each other. And
and that day, COVID became the least of their problems.
Exactly.
You know?
And you know, not 50,000 people coming to a Travis Scott concert are going to have their vaccine cards or their tests that show that they're negative.
Yeah,
that's not happening.
Insane. So anyway, all right, well, that's going to do it for that part. Do you have any birthdays today?
I do not.
All right, well, then that is going to do it for our aftercast. We're going to make it to this meeting with 15 minutes to spare.
That's true. Wish us the best. Wally will be on his best behavior.
I'm in a good mood. I'm going to take my blood pressure cuff with me and then just periodically just see how I'm doing. Like, I might do it as a joke, like if somebody gets a little animated, like, see
my
how it goes.
You guys are stressing me out.
Yeah, stop it.
You're triggering me.
I can't handle this. I should have been a millennial. All right, that's going to do it for your aftercast. Thanks for being a potty.